Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Talking Titans, a disgusting loss for the Titans yesterday against the Houston Texans. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. InvigorateHealthTN.com for more information. Corey, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Just soaking in the glory.
Yes, I'm sure that you are. Speaking of soaking in, there's a lot to soak in from that game yesterday. Just your initial thoughts on what we saw yesterday at Nissan Stadium. A pretty abhorrent loss for the Titans to the Texans yesterday.
Well, I mean, it was almost predictable, right? I mean, we've seen it so many times, and you know, you hoped that this team was past it, but you know, after watching everything that happened in the last week with Washington and Tampa, with Miami and Baltimore, you know, you felt like you could see it coming, and then you know, Bud Dupree goes on IR, AJ leaves the game, and you just. I mean, I felt pretty early in that one it was going to be a long day. So it was, you know, I had a bet with some of our viewers on our Sports Extra Daily show, because I was trying to warn them last week that, you know, the Titans are going to drop another game or two here, you know, for sure, because it's, you know, they're going to have another clunker. They're going to have a clunker somewhere along the way. And, you know, some fans were convinced they were going to run the table. And I said, no, they won't. And they didn't. Now, did I pretend to win this week? Yes, I did. But I'm not shocked.
So does anything specifically from it shock you or get you close?
You know, I try to think of, I mean, I guess what worries me most are the injuries adding up, number one. Number two, you know, the offensive line, you know, protecting the quarterback, you know, because Tannehill continues to take a lot of hits. And I know, look, the defense, they only gave up like 190 yards the whole game. I mean, I think they outgained them 420 to 190 in the game. So, you know, yes, I agree with a lot of people. The defense did its thing, and it wasn't terrible. But they didn't have any sacks. They didn't have any turnovers. And so, you know, while they were relatively solid, they allowed the Texans to take the lead, and they didn't come up with any game-changing plays. And so those were some of my concerns in that game. Other than that, it's the NFL. It just is. And no matter how stinky we think teams are, they're capable of winning.
Corey, what's your concern level with Ryan Tannehill? Obviously not a good day yesterday, four interceptions for Tannehill. What have you made of him as a whole, especially without Derrick Henry in the last three games? And how concerned would you be about Ryan Tannehill at this point?
Well, we've been concerned about the picks, right? I mean, we've talked about it. We talked about it in training camp. We were like, is it the defense or is it the offense? And, you know, we've seen it all during the season where, you know, look, interceptions happen where, you know, it bounces off of a defender's hand or a receiver doesn't corral it and it's a tip and it goes up and it gets caught. Or, you know, once in a while, you know, you try to force one in there in a late situation. But he's had a lot of ones that are just bad. You know, where you're just like, gosh, you know, what was going on there? I mean, the one he had to Desmond King at the 1 yard line, that was on first down. And first down interceptions drive me crazy. I mean, they really do. They drive me nuts. And so, you know, that's concerning. Now, is he throwing to AJ and Julio? No, he's not. But that's still not necessarily an excuse for any of them. I know a lot of people tried to, you know, blame things on Des Fitzpatrick, which I guess is easy to do for a guy who got cut coming out of training camp. But, you know, a lot of these throws just aren't great. I mean, the first one was bad. And then there were a couple other ones where it looked like he was just felt the pressure throwing off his back foot and kind of floated it. He had some other passes that were picked off that were high or just not on target. I mean, he's been behind receivers at times some this year. And, you know, look, I'm making it sound like the guy's been awful. He hasn't been awful, but he hasn't been as sharp as he was the first 2 years. He just hasn't been. And, you know, can some of it be related to Derrick Henry? Sure, some of it can. But he was turning it over when Derrick was in there. And, you know, that's been a steady problem. And, you know, I certainly don't want the guy to crawl into his shell like a turtle here and be afraid to do anything. But, you know, there's just some decisions that are being made that aren't great right now. And, you know, going into this game, we said there's one way the Texans are going to win this thing, and that's with turnovers because the rest of their team isn't good enough. And, guys, there were 5 turnovers, but there were also 4 times they turned it over on downs and another time where they lost it on the intentional grounding at the half. To me, that's like 8 turnovers in the game. 8. It's shocking they had a chance to win in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, with Tannehill, you're talking 13-12 TD to pick this year. You're talking 55-13 the past 2 years. So there's a lot that's, you know, not working or a lot that's missing, but he's still just it's a little bit befuddling how he's playing. I was also befuddled, Corey, yesterday by the running back decisions. I don't totally understand. I think late, obviously, Dontrell Hilliard is the replacement third down back for Jeremy McNichol, so he's on the field. But, I mean, that early fourth and one to me was huge. One of those things you just referenced, you know, it's the same thing as a turnover. One, fourth and a few inches. Has Ryan Tannehill ever not gotten that? I don't think he's been stopped on one of those. Maybe I'm wrong. But if you're going to give it to a back, Deontay Foreman was hot on that drive, and they bring in Adrian Peterson and he gets stuffed. I don't know. That one to me was, I thought, a big moment. But what about just the backs? And it almost feels like it's like I'm watching youth football, and it's like, well, everybody needs to get like 6-7 carries, and we'll keep the playing time equal.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to stick with somebody. On that play, they were really bunched up on the center. Like, they were – I mean, they've seen the Titans, okay? They've got coaches. They got video guys. We were all expecting a quarterback sneak on that play. And I think if he would have tried to quarterback sneak, I don't think he would have made it. Hmm. They blew up the line. They blew up the line. And when I saw the defensive formation, I thought they were in trouble. And I thought, I hope he rolls out, or I hope they go to the outside, because they were stacked up. I mean, they had like 8-9 in the box on that play. And I thought it was stubborn. The other thing that's stubborn is, look, I know Adrian Peterson's a Hall of Famer. I do. And I'm not against him being on this team, and I'm not against him getting carries this game. But of the 3 backs that they've carried the last 2-3 weeks here, does he not look like the slowest?
Yeah, I would agree.
And so that's why in some of these short yardage situations, don't you want a guy who's going to slam it up in there as quickly as possible? I guess that's kind of one of my situations. The other thing is he's been running kind of high. And, you know, I just don't know. And Foreman's 240 pounds. So, you know, and like you said, I've liked the way Foreman has largely, you know, run the football. And, you know, if a guy's tired, I guess, it's one thing. But, you know, these guys are professional athletes. I like to think they can carry it more than 4 or 5 times before they've got to come in and get a blow, especially considering Henry can carry it, you know, 38 times and be fine. I don't expect them to settle in on a guy, but I get what you're saying, Joe, of, you know, Foreman can be the guy, and on third down, if you want Hilliard to be your guy, that's fine, but settling in on somebody, especially, you know, if that guy's working, you know. And, you know, look, early, AP had a 16-yarder, and Hilliard had times where he was popping them off. So it looked like you could have stuck with any of them at some point. But you're right, like a guy has some success and then he's out. And then you ask, you know, is the success because of the back or because of the line and what they're creating. But I think what you're looking for is flow and rhythm. And I think, you know, the concern is it disrupts that flow and that rhythm.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, how do you put into words what Chester Rogers was trying to do on that punt return, yeah, where it hits off his foot and the Texans recover the ball, and all of a sudden the game is pretty much over at that point?
Well, look, I understand what he's doing. He's trying to keep the ball from getting down on the one-yard line. I understand that. But, you know, like one of the things we talk about with quarterback play is one of the jobs is minimizing damage. And, you know, in that situation, you know, what's the worst thing, having the ball pinned down at the one? No, it's having it hit you and them getting it at the five, okay? you got to get away from the football. And Chester Rogers knows that. You know, he's there are times where guys try to do too much. And inside the five-yard line, that's probably trying to do a little bit too much. And you got to scatter. You got to get away. You got to get away. And he's a guy who's played enough football, and he knows that. You know, it's what I try to tell people yesterday is, you know, they weren't ready to play. And I don't mean that from an aspect that they didn't play hard, because I thought they did play hard. I thought they did care. You know, I don't feel like they were going through the motions out there, because, you know, you see that where you think a team's not ready to play and they look like they're kind of just going through the motions. They were ready to, they played hard and they competed. They just weren't sharp. They weren't on that razor's edge. They weren't making good decisions. They were sloppy. They made mistakes. And that was, you know, I think I tweeted after that play, just that kind of day, just par for the course with, you know, the decisions that were being made and the mistakes that happened.
So Titans 31, Patriots 17 then? Is that what's on tap here?
You know, that's what, you know, Kayla was talking about that on the way out the door last night. She's like, that's this team. That's what this team does. And I'm like, well, if AJ doesn't play,
right,
I have a hard time seeing how they get out of this one with a W. And having said that, Nick Westbrook, Akine, your guy, you know, 100-yard
right.
game, he's come a long way from a guy who couldn't catch the ball in camp 2 years ago. Because I remember how shocked we were that he was still around, because he was struggling to catch the football some. And, you know, puts up a 100-yard day. And, you know, Dez, the guy who gets cut, makes a combat catch yesterday on third down, makes a tough down, makes a, you know, look, I know the ball's in his hand, but that was a nice ball by Tannehill. You know, he looked off the defender and then slid it in there, and he did a nice job of corralling it. You know, those guys made some plays, but, you know, now you're talking about leaning on those guys for four quarters against the Patriots. And the Patriots are a much better defensive team than the Texans. And so it's, you know, this is where we say the injuries are adding up, and it's going to be a battle. And I know they've done it against some other teams, but, you know, it's hard to see. And, you know, AJ did not look good at the end of that play. And so I'm curious to hear, you know, what the injury is. I'm sure we won't hear anything until Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll get a lot of specifics today, I'm sure.
Yes, and we'll have a lot of good information that will come out today. And so, you know, it's good. It's, you know, I hate to be negative, because this team has overcome, you know, just about everything to this point, except for bad teams. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always, my friend. Make sure you rest up and get ready for that massive matchup on Thursday between the Bears and the Lions. We're all looking forward to that one.
Ooh, baby.
Oh, my God.
A football nation rejoices.
That's right.
You know what it's like when you know, this is like if you pulled the wishbone, and the wishbone didn't break, and both people pulling it, their arms broke.
I like that. That's very good.
That's beautiful.
Oh, what a matchup it's going to be coming up on Thursday. Corey, we appreciate you, brother.
Yeah. All right, ladies, guys.
Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. For more info, visit InvigorateHealthTN.com. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Corey had to say there. Get your thoughts on the Titans yesterday, their 22-13 loss to the Texans, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. Make sure you enjoy, speaking of the Bears and the Lions coming up this week, You can enjoy a football feast this Thanksgiving Day by winning $150 on a $5 bet when you join FanDuel Sportsbook. New customers, this is your chance to gobble up 30-1 odds. Just place your first bet on any NFL team to win on Thanksgiving Day. Joe Rexroad, this is the day it's going to happen. Give me the Lions against the Bears on Thanksgiving Day. They get their first win of the season, but you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. So sign up with promo code ROB to get in on the action. You can celebrate Thanksgiving by winning $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code ROB when you sign up. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, a $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market, a max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. You all right over there?
That song, Michelle, do you know that song?
I think I've heard
it. It's a nice day for a white wedding. You know, you've heard that song.
Joe, your dude. Face when...
Dude. Rebel Yell?
Oh, I looked. I know the song. You don't have to look at me.
I go, Robbie, what tickets are we giving away? And he said, Billy Idol.
Yeah.
And I just had kind of a, oh.
Joe, wonder who that is.
Joe
is that a new...
whipped his head around in your
it
disgust.
Was,
in
I was
your
kind
face.
Of, I was concerned about, you know, some whiplash damage from Rex Road over there. Seems like he's okay, though.
Like, did you think it was like a new, sort of like a new age country?
I just.
New solo age artist
country.
Or something?
New age country.
I just had never. Listen, I might have heard the songs. I'm very bad with song names, song, like, artists.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Rex Road knows, like, specific albums of, like, everyone, and I just can't do that.
Specific.
No, I mean, I know. I'm sick.
You are.
All right, so actually this goes well to a Stillman text I got to bring up.
Okay. Well, here, let me give away these tickets first.
Yeah, give away the tickets.
We got some tickets to give away to see Billy Idol and Steve Stevens at the Ryman Auditorium on Monday, November 29th. That is next Monday. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Billy Idol and Steve Stevens at the Ryman Auditorium coming up next Monday. So hit up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Rex Road, go ahead.
Yeah, so one, bumper music. I would say for one of them, put in Rebel Yell. I just want to know if you know it, so it's worth a shot. Yeah, so Jared, of course, got all mad about my Rex rant. Jared texted me, "Thanks for the lecture." I'm gonna say it in the Jared tone I'm imagining.
Okay, all right.
Thanks for the lecture, but nobody needs to hear from someone who talks about bumper music. End quote. You have nothing.
Seems like you struck a nerve.
Hey, Jared, you have nothing to say about any music with your softcore porn intro song. Okay. Now that's specific to your show.
Yes. Yes.
That my rant was not, but if you want to look at it as a lecture for you, well, I would leave a seat in the classroom for you. I will say that.
That's right.
Right up front.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Matt from Camden texting in. Just tuned in and was wondering what the overall vibe with the fan base is. Is the sky falling, or is it one game and let's move on to New England? My response was, yeah, the sky is falling. And he says, I mean, there's a lot to be worried about. But I think at the top of the list is injuries, and if we can just make it to the bye week, I think they'll be fine. I hear what people are saying on that. What evidence do we have so far this year that the injuries are ever going to be fine at this point?
So this is the thing that you're
– Yes. Like
the sunshiny
– I keep hearing this all over the place. Like, well, when the Titans get healthy, they're going to be in good shape. Okay. Yeah. Well, what evidence do we have that the Titans are ever going to get healthy this year?
Right. I mean, at this point, look, one consistent thing about this team is that they keep getting less healthy. So at this point, you should almost just expect to hope that in the wild card game on the road that Logan Woodside and Dontrell Hilliard and
got some chemistry at that point.
Dez Fitzpatrick and Mason Kinsey can come up with an inspiring effort to advance.
Maybe so.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
It is.
So, again, I've hesitated this entire season, and like in my life, hesitated to be like the trainers, the strength coach, the doctors, you know, as some source of blame. And I'm not indulging that now. I will say that internally, I'm sure there's everybody like, what can we do differently? What is there something that is not being done or can be altered, or is somebody out there doing something that is preventing hamstring injuries from becoming a virus?
Well, the hamstring thing is ridiculous. I mean, it's the NFL. Soft tissue injuries happen on a game-by-game basis. I understand that. But the amount of hamstring injuries that this team has dealt with so far this year and continues to deal with on a weekly basis, it's insane. Again, does that have anything to do with the training staff? I don't know. I mean, I'm not smart enough to know what the answer to that question is. But to your point, at some point I'm looking around and saying, all right, is there anything different we can do to help combat this? Because, I mean, now you got Marcus Johnson added to the list. A.J. Brown's dealt with a hamstring. Julio's been dealing with a hamstring all year.
David Long.
I mean, it's Jayon Brown's had a hamstring this year. Like, it's ridiculous.
Fulton. Did you say Fulton?
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
I mean,
Fulton.
It's ridiculous how many hamstring injuries they've had this year.
There's five we're forgetting.
Yeah. I've never seen anything like this. And, again, I've said this many times. I'm not going to make a single excuse for the Titans yesterday, because that Houston Texans team is cheeks. They are awful. And that's the first time we've used that today, so I feel like we need to get in there. So I have zero sympathy for the Titans losing that game yesterday, but the injuries are ridiculous. They just are.
Right. And that's the problem. It's the bigger problem. Like, motivation. I think Corey put it very well. So it's execution. I even asked this question specifically of Vrabel yesterday, and honestly, like, I guess if you ask this question, maybe you would assume – because you think emotion and effort weren't there. That's not. I just wondered what Vrabel thought. Like, did he think emotion and effort were there? And basically he said he thought they were. I think there's a sharpness of focus of, like, you've been locked in on this opponent all week and you know this is a huge challenge, and so you gotta be precise with everything that was missing. But like with Bob on Twitter, the whole like Vrabel doesn't motivate them for these teams. I don't think it's on Vrabel to quote-unquote motivate them for these games. I don't think Vrabel gets credit for quote-unquote motivating them to go beat the Rams and beat the Chiefs and beat the Bills. They're pros. It's pro sports. I mean, Byard said it yesterday, like Tristan Thompson's rant last week. What you need? We need someone else to come in here and get us riled up for a game?
Yeah.
I don't buy that, but I think it's fair to say they weren't sharp, focused. That's fine. The bigger problem to me is that they're just not a good football team as constructed right now. They're not good. You can't lose this many players and be good.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says the Titans can't win this Sunday or in the future with all these key guys not available. The sky has fallen.
It's already down. The sky is here.
The sky is here. We are in the sky.
The sky is the roof or something. And look, if they don't have some kind of remarkable good health news this week, which, again, why would you expect that they would?
Yeah. Like,
I don't see how they don't get their doors blown off at New England. The problem is that it's the NFL.
Well, it's the NFL, and it feels like every time we have this discussion with the Titans about how they can't win a game, they win a game. And when we have a discussion like we did last week about how they're going to absolutely blow the doors off somebody, they lose. I mean, that's what it feels like. So, am I going to be shocked if they go out on Sunday and beat New England? No, I'm not going to be shocked by that. But, like, at some point, that storyline of no one's giving us a chance, so they're going to go out there and win, like, at some point, you run out of bodies to be able to go out and do that. Like, right now, we'll see what happens with A.J. Brown and Marcus Johnson this week. It's difficult for me to imagine Marcus Johnson being ready to go a week after the hamstring. And as Corey pointed out, A.J. Brown didn't look great. He did not look like he was right after that hit.
And he never came back out.
And he never came back out.
That's not a good sign either.
Not a good sign at all. So I think there is a distinct possibility that your number one wide receiver heading into this game is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. And he was great yesterday. I don't want to take anything away from him. But if your number one weapon going up against the New England Patriots is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, that is not a great place to be in.
I mean, the one thing that they have that has been pretty consistent but didn't show up yesterday is the pass rush. I mean, if you go into a game and get that pressure up the middle and just terrorize Mac Jones and get some mistakes of your own, sure, then you could win that game. But the offense is a shell of itself. I mean, it's almost incredible.
Yeah,
how much of a shell of itself this offense is at this point. And then you on top of that, you have your quarterback playing poorly. Now, that's obviously the only way they have any chance in this game or any of these big games coming up is if Tannehill does a 180 from yesterday. And that's possible. But it's also much more difficult if he continues to not be protected and he continues to throw to practice squad guys.
Well, and it was not a good game yesterday for Ryan Tannehill. Four interceptions on the day. We'll break down his performance from yesterday next and what that means for the Titans as they move forward here. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Tune in tomorrow night as 3-seed Nashville SC takes on the 6-seed Orlando City SC in the first round of the Audi MLS playoffs at Nissan Stadium. Pre-game starts at 6:45 and the match begins at 7 p.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
She says she doesn't know that song, but I think you got to get to the chorus to make that, right? There's no way, right?
Oh, there's a way.
Joe just gave me the hand.
Well, no, I was just saying, just wait to...
I honestly can say I've never heard that song.
I don't believe you. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a minute. I think if you got to the chorus of that song, you'd be like, oh, okay.
I'll listen to
it. I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I think you've officially gotten that old.
But that's the thing. That's an 80s song.
I know.
I mean, I talk about 70s songs, which I get. And some of those we all know, right? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an 80s song. Actually, forget the show for this segment, Michelle. I just want you to listen up to the chorus. And then if it's a no. It's fine.
Okay. Yes. The chorus I do recognize.
Okay.
But I've never heard any other part of the song.
That's fine.
But I recognize the chorus.
That's fine. We're good. Okay.
So Joe doesn't feel old happy. Anymore. Okay. Right. We're good. Check.
Joe Rex wrote a pretty bad day yesterday for Ryan Tannehill. Four interceptions on the day. The one to, I think it was it Terrence Mitchell. I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's. Kamu Grugier-Hill, the 82-yard return on the first pick by Tannehill. Just an awful interception. Never saw him on that play. Do we need to call yesterday like the Desmond King Revenge Tour game? Two picks for Desmond King yesterday?
I guess so. And the first two picks in 3 years?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Yeah, well, Desmond King, that was a guy the Titans could have tried to retain. We never talk about it. We always talk about Butler and Jackson moved on. They moved on from Desmond King, too, who they had for a brief time. But, yeah, he got him.
He did get him. Four interceptions. Look, there's been some talk today on the text line, too, about now how a couple of them could have been on the receivers, and Ryan Tannehill and Des Fitzpatrick looked like they weren't on the same page for one of those. Like, I don't really have much time for that today. Like, to me, those are on Tannehill. I mean, even the one where we're talking about the route mix-up, there's a guy draped all over Des Fitzpatrick. Like, why are you throwing the ball? Like, those are some bad decisions yesterday from Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, you look at his stat line without Derrick Henry, it's not good. He's got three touchdowns and five picks in three games without Derrick Henry. He got one more pick that got wiped off the board against New Orleans in the end zone on a roughing the passer call. You know, he's had some good moments in these games, not very many yesterday, but he had some good moments in these games. But by and large, it's not been very good from Ryan Tannehill in these last three games. Your concern level right now with the Titans quarterback, who, as you mentioned earlier, now sitting at 13 touchdown passes and 12 interceptions on the season.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a real chance to have his career high in picks. 55-13 touchdown to interception his first 2 years with the Titans, 13-12 now. He was actually pretty consistent with the Dolphins. He was kind of like a 12 interception guy. But again, with like 27 touchdowns, 24 touchdowns, he still had a good ratio, even when we can think about quote-unquote Miami Tannehill. His career high is 17. He got a chance. That was his second year for a bad team. He got a chance to beat that. And like, so yesterday he threw how many passes? He threw 52 passes.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, 45 of them were probably pretty good passes. He made some big throws, and even like the TD to Fitzpatrick, fitting that in there, a couple of those passes to Westbrook-Ikhina, made some nice throws. You can't have even a couple throws that you regret in this league and expect to win, and he had that. And I agree with Corey. The like throwing that pick on the pass of Fitzpatrick, taking that gamble on a first down when you know, right now you are at that moment, you got a chance here. It's 19-6. There's still tons of time. Like, there's no reason to make that throw.
Yeah.
That one and the first one to me are just egregious. Like, what are you, and I don't know how he just seems to not be seeing like defenders at the second level this year like he has. He doesn't seem to be looking off defenders and using his eyes to manipulate the field like he has in the past. I'm guessing that may have something to do with protection. You know, I'm guessing that having less comfort in the pocket maybe has something to do with that. Yeah, a lot of stuff around him is broken down. There's no question about it, but you still can't make those plays. I mean, he's still the biggest concern individually coming out of that game because he plays the most important position.
Liam on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I think we all secretly hoped Ryan Tannehill was a top five carrier team type quarterback, but it's become clear he only really excels with a top running back and top wide receiver. Without a real play action threat, he doesn't keep track of the linebackers very well. This is coming from Liam on the text line.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair to also look at what play action has done for them and what it doesn't do now. But again, like if you're him, you have to know that, right?
Yeah.
You have to see people. So I don't know that anybody ever talked about Tannehill as being a top five, elite carrier team quarterback. But I've felt strongly that he's a second tier, good,
yeah,
and in contention for a top 10 in the league type quarterback. I mean, this year is taking a real, you know, taking the pick to that idea. I mean, it's tough. He is, and the Tana haters are reveling in this because a lot of things that people said, that a lot of those things I haven't agreed with. I mean, how do you can't really argue with it right now. I mean, he's got to get better.
Indy Ben on the text line. If fans are going to whine about the disrespect from Keyshawn and other national media, then they can't make excuses for Tannehill and how he's performed this entire season. This is who he is, a quarterback who needs a top rushing attack to provide open wide receivers in the play action game. He's not a quarterback that's going to elevate other players around him when things are grim. This coming from Indy Ben.
Again, it's open season on Tannehill, so I mean, I think there's going to be some. We've got people on the text line saying he's not an NFL quarterback, you know, and all this stuff. I mean, so it gets a little bit exaggerated, but you can't really exaggerate how bad he was yesterday. Those are someone football and other F words. I don't know even is this a Pro Football Focus thing? I don't know. Tweet out that he had 7 potential turnover plays yesterday, which sounds about right. He tried to throw other picks. Before the last pick, he threw a ball that was going to get picked by it was more likely to be caught by 2 different Houston players than his own receiver, Tommy Hudson. Like, I don't know what he thought he saw there. And then that was compared to, according to Football and Other F-Words, only his season high had been 1. I would disagree with that. A possible turnover play. I mean, he was fumbling early in the year, getting crushed, but fumbling, and he's throwing other picks. But still, I would say yesterday was clearly the most mistake-riddled, bad decision game by him by far in a Titans uniform.
Well, I mean, look, he fumbled the ball in the pocket yesterday too. He could have had another turnover there yesterday. So it was loose with the football a little bit yesterday. Now he got crushed on that play. So, but still, you got to find a way to hold on the ball, and it was not a good day for Ryan Tannehill. I said this earlier in the show. You know, this idea that we've seen a lot the last couple of weeks on the text line and on Twitter and all over the place about the Titans being disrespected. I don't really have much time for that anymore. I don't really want to hear any more about the Titans being disrespected when you lose to the New York Jets and the Houston Texans in the same season. I can tell you, they're from a national media standpoint, it doesn't really matter what the Titans do the rest of the year. They're not going to get a whole lot of respect and a lot of love when it comes to playoff time. And if you have a problem with that, don't lose to the Jets and the Texans. That's really the answer I have for you.
Yeah. I mean, like when they were winning all those big games, people would keep bringing up the Jets. It's like, well, that's true, but look at this win. But now you lose this game. And it is interesting, I will say, it seems like most of the reaction around the NFL yesterday was sort of like, well, there's a result that is exactly this NFL season, more than like, oh, the Titans are – you know what I mean? It was more like, oh, of course. Of course the Texans beat the Titans, because every week there's some ridiculous thing, which is true. It's a crazy year. But, I mean, the Titans, you think about the wins they had, all encapsulated by losses to the Jets and Texans. It's – what a year. What a year.
What a year indeed. When we come back, we'll get Joe Rexroad's three best and three worst performances yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. I'm sure there's some doozies to pick from yesterday on the Titans regard. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday discussing his team's loss to the Texans. Tough one for the Titans yesterday, a 22-13 loss. In a brutal game to watch for the Titans, and it was raining all over Nissan Stadium. Pretty miserable day all around for those inside Nissan Stadium yesterday in the Titans faithful. And Joe Rexroad, as we do every week at this time, it is time for your three best and three worst performers yesterday. In honor of what we saw on the field, we usually start with the best. Would you like to start with the best or with the worst from what we saw yesterday?
Yeah, let's start with the good news.
Okay, start with the good news. Your number one best performer for the Titans yesterday. I'm interested to see where this goes.
Well, it's got to be Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, right? I mean, come on.
Of course it does.
He was really good. I mean, he stepped up and stepped into that role and made some big time plays. Made some catches. He had the one, you know, catch and run where he went for 46, where he's kind of wide open. But I'd say he's targeted 8 times, caught 7. I'd say 4 or 5 of those catches were very closely contested. I mean, he had to make contested catches, battle for the football, made those catches, and gave them a number one receiver with all their receivers missing. So I give him credit for doing everything he could, along with the usual special team stuff, to give them a chance to win.
Number two on your best performers for the Titans yesterday.
I'm going to go two with Elijah Molden. He had a couple big third down plays where the only reason they get off the field is because of plays he made. One of them actually was a pass breakup where maybe it was just luck, but he got his hand in there and perfectly timed, because it was actually a great throw by Taylor. I think it was to Brevin Jordan. And Molden was not looking at the ball, but his hand came out there, popped it out of there, and then he had a great tackle that stopped what looked like it was going to be a catch and run for a first down. So he got him off the field twice, had 6 tackles, had a QB hit on a blitz. I thought of, especially, you know, the second half with that defense really stepping up and go 3 and out 4 times in a row, he was a big part of that.
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine at number one, Elijah Molden at number two. Number three for your best performers for the Titans yesterday.
Well, I'm going to go Christian Fulton. There's no real stats to speak of. He did have 3 tackles. But, you know, Brandon Cooks really was a non-factor yesterday. He had a big hand in that. And he's been really good since he's come back. I mean, he's, you know, when you talk about what can this team do as they're so banged up? Well, it's pressure the passer and be good in general because of that on defense. And Christian Fulton is one of the big reasons they have a chance. They need to get David Long back.
Yeah.
Like there's some guys they could get back this week that could really make them better. But Christian Fulton's return has been very good. And it is a nice little, tiny little nugget of good health news for the Titans and a season full of bad news.
And speaking of bad, your three worst performances from the Titans yesterday, I have a feeling I know one player who might make an appearance on this list.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Tannehill's the obvious number one. I'm not ready to sit here and say, you know, it's all bad and, oh, you got to switch quarterbacks and, you know, he has no chance of turning this around. I think he absolutely has a chance to turn it around. He's still been way more good than bad, but this has sort of been a wobbly season with some more picks than you're used to seeing, and you're kind of like, and the numbers aren't good, but it's like, he still looks pretty good. And yesterday, you hope. If you're the Titans, if you're the Titans fan, yesterday it bottomed out. I think that he's pressing and making some bad decisions, probably based on the stuff around him. But this is where the Titans need him to really make plays, but also just really focus on taking care of the ball. Because this team does have a defense that can win you a lot of games if you don't help the other team. And yesterday he helped the other team way too much.
Number two on your worst performances for the Titans yesterday.
See, it's interesting, as I thought about this, it's hard to come up with like individuals who struggled in this game for the Titans. It really came down so much to Tannehill. But I'm going to go with Todd Downing.
Yep.
I just thought that I thought there was too much predictability, too many first down runs again, too many first down runs that got stuffed. Late in the game, you know, Deontay Foreman comes in, and it's like, I mean, you know, the Texans sent 14 people to tackle him for a loss of three. The fourth and one call, I just hated it. Maybe Corey Curtis is right that, like, Tannehill wasn't going to get that. I'd still take my chances with Tannehill getting 3 inches. But if you're going to hand it off to the guy who's been running well at that point. And, look, I do think beyond that, bigger picture with this, and here's something that I will say I might agree with Jared Sillman on to some extent. Like, is the Arthur Smith to Todd Downing transition, is it a role? Does it have an impact on Tannehill's performance? I think it's possible. I still think it's more, if you want to talk about other than just Tannehill, because look, there's just some plays where like, how did you not see the linebacker? But if you want to look at external factors, I still would definitely go to pass protection first. The receiving situation's rough. I would go there next, but I do wonder if there was something Arthur Smith had figured out with him that maybe Todd Downing hasn't had the same magic with him. But overall, it's been a good year for Todd Downing. Yesterday was not a good day.
Number three on your list of worst performances by the Titans yesterday.
And then I'm just going to go in general with the pass rush. We're so used to seeing Harold Landry making big plays and terrorizing quarterbacks. We're so used to seeing Jeff Simmons do the same. We're used to seeing Denico Autry do the same. Simmons did have a big pass defended at one point, a PBU at the line. He got no quarterback hits. Landry had a couple tackles for losses the run game, no quarterback hits. Denico Autry, same thing. He got his hand on one ball at the line, no quarterback hits. Stunning to me that you would have a goose egg. Sacks, that's one thing, but that they would not have hit the quarterback. Those three guys, as good as they've been. So I think there's some credit to the Texans there. They got the ball out really fast most of the day, and it's frustrating if you're a pass-rushing team. But also, Titans let them run too well early, let them have way too many third and twos instead of third and sevens. And ultimately, I mean, this team right now, that's the one part of this team that you've pretty much been able to count on week after week for quite a while. And it wasn't there yesterday, and that's how you lose to the Texans.
Those have been Joe Rexroth's three best and three worst performances. Griff on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Well, Ferkser got that touchdown you guys have been waiting for so long.
That's right. Johnny
didn't
on the
make
spot.
Your list.
Anthony on the spot.
He finally gets in there and gets a touchdown. He's not on your best list. What's going on here?
I still get the called shot. What did Ferkser do, by the way? Ferkser was targeted more yesterday.
He had five receptions yesterday for 26 yards, seven targets. I mean probably
his
best game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not much per catch there. Some little checkdowns, but he had at least he did something in this game.
I got a texture that says Hilliard should have been at number three on the good side.
Hilliard was good. I mean, Hilliard was good. He had 735 rushing, and I mean, he was targeted 10 times.
Yeah.
Had 8 catches for 47 yards. A lot of that is you're in 2 minute, you're down multiple scores. There's a lot of checking down to Dontrell Hilliard, but credit to him coming in with Jeremy McNichols. Is this another hammy? So many hammies. I think McNichols was a concussion.
I believe so.
So many hammies. But Hilliard came in, and credit to him. And I wonder, did Hilliard do enough to warrant like actual carries moving forward? If everybody's healthy, I don't know.
I mean, 7 carries, 35 yards, 5 a carry.
I mean, Adrian Peterson had his best day by far.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, I don't like him on the 4th-and-1. Overall, so that's a 0. So basically, he had, other than that, he had 8 carries for 40 yards other than the 4th-and-1. That's pretty good. He looked, I mean, I thought he showed something. It's just, yeah, I feel like somebody needs to emerge to get more carries than this.
Join us from 11 to 1 p.m. in the beautiful Bode Hotel courtyard to watch the Titans take on the New England Patriots this Sunday. The game starts at noon, and we'll be on site giving away tickets to shows like the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Dierks Bentley, sidebar gift cards, plus a 2-night, 2-bedroom stay at Bode Nashville. Must be present to win. Drink specials all game long at the sidebar, the Bode's Nashville in-house cocktail bar, serving cocktails, beers, wines, and bar bites as well. So be sure to join us coming up at the Bode Hotel at 401 2nd Avenue South in downtown Nashville. We'll be right back with our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, to get his thoughts on the Titans against the Texans. Also, a tough one for the Predators over the weekend as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.